Guess what, boys and girls, we're back. It is allegedly the beginning of hour three on this Q-Talk America Tuesday night. It's our last show of 2017. We've just spent the past couple of hours talking amongst ourselves about headlines, what we've been obsessed or at least mildly interested in. Sometimes it's the same thing amongst us. Sometimes it's all different. We're never really quite sure. Later on in this hour, we're going to have a little segment we call Two Things with Kat Carlson. Possibly a wrap-up of... Marnie's pointing at me something. Possibly we're going to have a wrap-up of... Thoughtful vulgarity. God, I can't even think about it. There's
we
so
don't know
much,
what we're doing.
It's all crazy. It's pandemonium.
We're making this shit up as we go.
But like
along.
I said, it is Studio C. It's a Tuesday night. You're in it with us. Thank you all for being in the chat room. Let's turn things over to the one and only Mr. Al Perkins.
Well, I think we should just clear up one story that's gotten a lot of attention this week. And it's about the whole band at the CDC story.
Oh, the band words?
Yes, that it turns out that that was something that people that were writing up documents to be presented to the government for how to get money were suggested to leave off. So this never came from the Republicans. It was kind of done to like, here's a list of words that we should really keep off if we want to get funding for anything. We should avoid these words to deal with this. And it was kind of them calling the Republicans in Congress snowflakes.
Sure. Oh, because they're very offended by things like science-based. Embryos. And
so it was something that was suggested in a meeting about raising money by the people there. It didn't come from an outside source. And then it got leaked that they should avoid those words when dealing with Republicans. And the story just twisted around itself.
So it's not an actual ban.
No, there is no ban, and it didn't come from Republicans, and it wasn't a directive by the CDC. It was
that one was close, guys. It was
an insider thing, but it's probably true. If you want money, you're not going to put fetus in something. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? So it is how you have to talk to them. So I posted that, was given a Snopes account, that the way it was denied just sounded really false.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came to light.
Yeah, because we were talking about that on Saturday, and I was like, what?
And they said it really just the shitstorm hit. So it seems to be an insider kind of job. So there's that. And then we'll go to the next story on the list, which is that officially the Donna Summer musical will move to Broadway in April.
Hey.
They have the home at the Luntfontein Theater. They will be open in time for the Tonys, and allegedly tickets go on sale in January. Tommy Mottola has jumped on board, former head of Sony Music, and
Mariah Carey's
abusive ex-husband has joined on as a producer, which has got it going.
Wow.
And it turns out there's a Cher musical coming in the fall.
Yes.
We already demonstrated what that's going to sound like earlier.
Right. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful
It's
going to
sound
job.
A lot like Elvis.
So it turns out they were in a race to get the Donna Summer one on
before the Cher
first.
Which only makes sense.
Yeah. So it's funny that they still list him as Mariah Carey's ex-husband. Not the fact that he started Sony Music. So cast and everything is still to be determined, but Tommy Mottola is married to Thalia. I never remember how you pronounce her name.
Thalia?
Huh?
Thalia?
Sure.
Thalia?
Married to the Mexican national whose family got kidnapped almost immediately, because it turns out that's a business down there. As soon as they found out she had ties to money, parts of her family were kidnapped during her honeymoon, and until they found out, like, oh, they're not going to hurt them, they just want money. Like,
again,
this whole kidnapping is a business
thing.
That's
why I don't go to Mexico.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you have enough money for a kidnapping, though?
I mean, $5 in an investment account. Listen.
I didn't mean that to sound as shitty as it did. So very exciting.
I just got, and it's the free $5 they gave me.
So
it's not even my own. It's not even your money.
Yeah, it's not even your money, really.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
So now there's this weird thing that claims to be coming from the pro-Trump people, about Meryl Streep.
Oh.
Because Meryl famously made Music from the Heart, I think, with Gloria Estefan. I step on. That's how I pronounce her name.
Yes, I know. I heard you.
That she made music from the heart and told him, like, this gets a real push. I'm not doing some fucking art movie for you. And that she bullied as well as she got back. She's made a couple of movies for Harvey Weinstein, and he famously got her that, like, campaigned and got her an Oscar nomination to make sure that people went and saw Music from the Heart or Up the Heart, whatever the hell that movie's called. But there was a big thing about her saying her deal was, you promote this movie like it's a fucking blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's this thing, and there's posters up all over L.A. outside of her house near the SAG-AFTRA office featuring a photograph of Meryl next to Harvey with the phrase "she knew" written across the actress's eyes. Has denied that she was aware of Weinstein's alleged sexual misconduct over the years. She has said the disgraceful news about Harvey Weinstein has appalled those of us whose work he championed and those whose good and worthy causes he supported. The intrepid women who raise their voices to expose their abuse are our heroes. She continued, one thing can be clarified. Not everybody knew. Harvey supported the work fiercely, was exasperating but respectful with me in our working relationship and with many others with whom he worked professionally. She said, I didn't know about these other offenses. I did not know about his financial settlements with actresses and colleagues. And I did not know about his having meetings in his hotel room, his bathroom, or other inappropriate coercive acts. And if anybody knew, I don't believe that all the investigative reporters in the entertainment and the hard news media would have neglected for decades to write about it. I don't believe that part's true at all. So it remains unclear who would put up the posters. Controversial alt-right personality Mike Cernovich posted a statement from the artist saying that the poster called out Hollywood hypocrisy. In the past, the politically outspoken actress is even targeted for criticism by alt-right groups and even President Donald Trump. So there is some kind of a social media spat between Streep and Rose McGowan over Streep's reaction to the Weinstein sexual misconduct allegations. The fact that Streep kept working with him, and like, she's the one in the middle, like she's the one that did have work, but you just can't imagine anyone bossing Meryl Streep around.
Right.
Like, from all accounts, he saw her as an equal and just kind of like stayed clear. Like, she lives in Connecticut. She makes very few movies in Hollywood. It's kind of one of her, until the last few years, her movies were all made on location somewhere. Like, I think she said she made, like, 3 movies in Hollywood in her whole career.
Mm.
Like, she wasn't Hollywood. Her family lives in Connecticut. So she doesn't know the industry. Whether or not that applies here. So there's, like, a back and forth that she might have known something. And there you go. So she won an Academy Award for Weinstein Company's The Iron Lady. When she won for Iron Lady the Oscar, she said, I just want to thank my agent and God, Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein. One of them was the newscaster in my town. But it turns out August Osage County. So she did make quite a few with him. But I just don't think every single person knew. You know what I mean? I really don't. I don't think every person knew. Are there questions about Quentin Tarantino and Kevin Smith that made all of their movies and made the movies that hit 3 females between 8 movies? Yeah, maybe. Like, I'm more suspicious of that.
Wasn't there an Uma Thurman issue with Tarantino and Kill Bill? Wasn't there also some sort of a...
I haven't heard that about him, but, like, they just don't have a lot of females in their movies. So, I was wondering, like, is that why they stick with Weinstein? Which one?
Steen. Think of that. Weinstein.
Weinstein.
You're making it worse.
Yeah, it's not going to help me at all.
No, but I'm thinking Weinstein. Yeah. He'll remember.
Well, I got the wine part down.
Yeah.
comes next.
Think of the stain of the industry.
So, like, Emma Thompson famously said there was only, in her long career, only one movie, and they ended up selling it to a different company because she hated him. They were trying to make, what's the nanny movies? Nanny McPhee, and that they sold the rights. Now there's a whole thing about Peter Jackson coming out and saying that he was told by Harvey Weinstein.
Sure. They've confused me too. I don't know.
To not cast Irv Weinstein. So it's Weinstein.
Steen. There you go.
I was going to say Irv Weinstein first. So Steen. He told...
I don't know.
He told
A male Peter pig, Jackson. Charlie Sheen, Weinstein.
Oh, that's helpful. That's better.
Better. Yeah.
That's actually not helping me at all.
I just thought it might be.
Yeah, you addressed the part I didn't know.
Sheenstein.
Yeah. So, told Peter Jackson not to cast Mira Sorvino or Ashley Judd when he was casting the one another. It's another movie with one female role. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're not affecting a whole herd of actresses with these men that make movies that have one female role. Okay. You know, so. It kind of cracks me up, too. The people that are stepping forward, I'm like, maybe if you made a movie that had more than one woman in it, and it wasn't Kate Blanchett in every one of them.
Right.
But then, you know, they came back around and said that they didn't end up owning Lord of the Rings, so the casting should have had nothing to do with them. That story can't possibly be true, because Peter Jackson ended up making the Lord of the Rings movie, I think, with New Line Cinema. So they're saying, this has to be total bullshit. But no, you're still in a position of power. Sure. You're still talking to Peter Jackson, like, so that's the story. Just never seems to end. And especially since Meryl Streep put up with all that abuse from Dustin Hoffman early in her career, and I think she would have spoken up after how much she spoke about what a terrible person he was to her. That if she was being mistreated or saw someone mistreated, I don't see her just standing idly by. Like that's That seems
it's not
a little
really in her MO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem right. So
yeah, like she would the way that she stood up on the stage against Trump.
Yeah.
And made such a
I don't see her knowing that people are being
picking,
abused.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll do this to him but not to him and allow it from one. Sure.
So the SAG Award nominations came out. Claire Foy for The Crown gets a nomination, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale for TV shows. Millie Bobby Brown for Stranger Things, which I don't think this season was really her year. I thought that was an odd. But Laura Linney for Ozark, Robin Wright for House of Cards. I like that Ozark got a lot of attention. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Comedy Series, Alison Brie in GLOW. I have not watched that yet, the female wrestlers.
Okay.
That looks like a lot of fun, and many people, many good people
are talking
about it.
Is she, like, the lead?
Yeah. She's from Community. Okay.
Yeah, I can see. You know, I watched a couple episodes of it, and it's not super my jam because it falls into that like period of time that I feel like a lot of my friends are really nostalgic about, and I could give a shit about.
Right. And it's a part of that time that I don't give think back on female wrestlers fondly.
Sure,
but she gets a nomination, and then it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda for Grace and Frankie. Uzo Aduba gets a nomination for Orange is the New Black, and I really thought that should have been Grace or Karen from Will and Grace. I thought that spot was wasted because I don't feel like Orange is the New Black is comedy in any way, shape, or form anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're kind of bending the rules that they're keeping that as a comedy where everybody else has been like, no, you're done. You're not really funny. Much more serious. Actress in a leading role in a movie, Judi Dench for Victoria and Abdul, Weird. Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, which I'm going to see tomorrow. Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, which the YouTubes are a delight right now. It is just all one big tribute to Tonya Harding and the Olympics and that damn triple axel. And if you want a good time, triple go watch Tonya Harding win the U.S. Women's Championship with a triple axel, and watch how well she skates when there's no drama. Like before anybody really knew who she was, when she won that gold medal in the U.S. finals, the women's finals, that is a spectacular piece of athleticism. Like, I watched that today, and I'm like...
She did. She had a lot going for her. Oh, but then it was like...
And there's only three...
But then Nancy Kerrigan was America's Sweetheart.
Yeah.
She was also better. Well, I mean,
not even a little bit.
Oh,
watch.
I thought that she was.
That year. Now, once the drama all hits, that Olympics, yes, Nancy Kerrigan did
that's
much
what
better.
I mean. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Go back and watch her win that U.S. gold.
Sure,
yeah. That's a far better athlete. Like... It's kind of funny. She's still like, there's only four people in the world that have ever landed a triple axel. Mm-hmm. Two are going to the Olympics, one retired, and Tonya Harding. Yeah. Mm. She was the first and so far the only skater to ever land a triple axel in competition. Like, she's the only only American woman that ever landed it. And when you watch that performance, beginning to end, you're just like, holy shit, how did she not become America's sweetheart? Right. Is it the trashy family? Is it the trashy background that...
Yeah, but did we know anything about the trashy anything until...
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You see these, like, manufactured storylines. Like, you see every one of them. The Cinderella story wins almost every time. Right. Every goddamn sport.
Because you'd go to a chain-smoking mother, a divorced father. You'd go into trailer parks in Portland. The mother hand sewing the costumes. Like, it just wasn't a story.
It's really hard to America's Sweetheart. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You think it's a coincidence that the Houston Astros won a World Series this year?
Right. No.
Settle down, people. We have manufactured these storylines to be very Disney-like.
Sure. And Nancy Kerrigan just comes off as America's Sweetheart in comparison. Yeah. But not... the actual Olympic thing, she was pretty good. She didn't land the triple axel in Olympics. So I think that still has never been done.
Right.
But so just, it's fun. The YouTubes are fun. So that's Margot Robbie, who produced the movie, was some kind of an ice skater. I mean, a hockey player.
Okay.
So very athletic, but had to train for 5 months. But when it came time to do the triple axel, they were trying to hire a body double, and they're like, no one can do it.
Yeah.
They're like, except for Tanya Harding, there's only a couple more people. So they had to CGI something that she did.
Oh, got it.
So it kind of funny. Frances McDormand rounds out the thing with three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. And honestly, I'll tell you tomorrow after I see The Shape of Water, but I just don't see Frances McDormand losing this year because that performance is just over-the-top fantastic. Although they might give it to that Lady Bird, which would be a waste of an Oscar. all the usual suspects in male in a comedy series, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace gets in here. And hopefully it's for the one who tries to be younger. And the magnets and the makeup and the dancing to Madonna. I mean, it's just the whole fucking thing.
That was very funny.
Outstanding performance by male actor in a leading role for movies. Daniel Kaluuya, I think is how you say his name, from Get Out, which I'm very excited about, that Get Out is getting all this love by Key and Peele, directed in the horror movie with 20 solid minutes of funny. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Which I don't know if we talked about
this yesterday.
But it's the same time frame as Dunkirk. The movie is about The Darkest Hour is the Battle of Dunkirk.
Okay.
So weird that they could be in competition. Two movies about the same moment in history, told from opposite sides of the channel.
Interesting.
James Franco for The Disaster Artist, Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, which is killing me because I can't find it. And then my favorite category... female actress in a supporting role, Allison Janney for I, Tanya, which I am chomping at the bit to see her in this role.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I saw an interview with the mother wearing, like, Christmas something or other in a frilly sweater saying, she just hates me, period. Yeah. I mean, the interview with the mother is a delight on its own. She just hates me, period. She's like, I never beat her. I might have hit her once or twice. I mean, just... weird.
Imagine.
Hong Chau from Downsizing, Mary J. Blige in Mudbound. And I've been trying to find this movie, searching around for it. Turns out it's a Netflix, and they cheated and somehow got it released in theaters for the required amount of days. But it's already on Netflix. Mudbound, Mary J. Blige gets two nominations for Best Supporting Actress and for Best Song. So Mary Blige could be doubly nominated because she was nominated at the Golden Globes, too.
Yeah. Huh.
So whatever rules they're bending to get this Netflix movie into the Oscars, but they did it last year because Moonlight was from Amazon and so was Manchester by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
But you get Holly Hunter in The Big Sick, and she was terrific, and Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird, who was the only part of that movie I can really recommend. Male actor in a supporting role, Richard Jenkins, Shape of Water, Steve Carell for The Battle of the Sexes. Weird that they made him supporting actor when he's one of the sexes that's battling. Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell both.
I feel like it's legit. No, yeah. She's really the movie.
She really is the movie, and she was fantastic. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, terrific movie.
I know the story. Like, there's no way that she's not the movie.
Right. Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project. I guess the screeners for The Post didn't make it to the Screen Actors Guild in time, so that's why The Post is not nominated for anything. And then finally... outstanding performance by a cast, because it's about the actors, not the producers. So Get Out gets a Best Picture nomination, which is truly a surprise, but a movie I've been pushing all year long. Mudbound, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, The Big Sick, and Lady Bird. So that's like three comedies. I don't know what the hell you would classify Three Billboards as. And then whatever this Mudbound movie is. that the search is over. It turns out it's just sitting there on Amazon.
It turns out it's on Netflix, just waiting for you.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. That made me laugh.
Mudbound. I swear I saw previews for that at one point.
Yeah.
Mudbound.
And it's following some kind of rules that it's already there. Like, it's already out. It came out last month. Because they've been hunting all over.
Good for them.
Yeah, so good for them. Because they got beat out. They didn't get the first Emmy for a series that went to Hulu. They didn't get the first Oscar because that went to Amazon. So there are bridesmaids in every competition. But that cast in a motion picture, and they never go along with the Oscars, by the way. Outstanding cast, like La Cage Folle. Not La Cage Folle. What's the American version of that called?
Birdcage.
Birdcage. Mm. The Birdcage won 1 year. So the outstanding cast and best picture don't go along.
Or not the same. Okay.
No. But
because I was wondering, you knew that was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, fun nominations. So then, wait, we'll get to this. We're
and on. Victoria and Abdul.
That is yet another movie by that one guy that writes that movie over and over again about the entire life of Victoria, Queen Victoria.
Oh, okay.
So you got Mrs. Brown.
And Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Okay.
She's a cold-hearted snake.
Victoria
look into her eyes.
Victoria and Abdul, a couple of people have seen it here. That I know that have said, you know, they like it, but it's, again,
it's the same
we
movie.
We saw The Young Victoria, which was really good with John Krasinski's wife, Emily Blunt. Then there was Mrs. Brown, where it's how we all learned who Judy Dench was.
Okay.
And now we have this movie. So I feel like we're learning about the three loves of Queen Victoria, and it's the same writer every time.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, he's got a hard on, kind of like the guy, Peter Morgan, that writes all the movies about Queen Elizabeth. Like, we get it. You got her. But he does both.
Agreed.
He does stretch it out to both.
Yeah.
I can never remember if he did The Crown, though.
I don't know.
So there is that. Something like Summer, the movie that you were talking about, is a series of books. So I guess it's the exploration of love through this young man's season. So there's something like winter, there's something like summer, something like spring, and as you can imagine, there must be something like fall. So I thought you might like to know that, because we cannot find a release date or any other information about this movie.
Interesting.
We'll figure it out.
We should read the books.
No, I just want to see the movie. Yeah. My only interest in the movie what caught my eye was one of the kids in the movie. I'm like, oh, who's that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is a movie, oddly, about some gay movie. So that was news to me.
Which, I mean, the Netflix is just filled with them. If you go to the gay and lesbian part of Netflix, there's a lot to watch. Not all of it's great, but there's some fun stuff there. And then the movie I saw today, The Disaster Artist. I mean, I really recommend, especially since Anant was talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show, because it turns out the kids turned about 15 years ago, 12 years ago, to The Room. This absolutely awful movie. It's available to rent. I don't know if you can get it through any streaming services. It's called The Citizen's Kane of Bad Movies. And it's just a bizarre movie by a guy that had just unlimited funds and made this horrible, horrible movie. Horrible rating. At one point, he wanted to be a vampire that flew over San Francisco. But stuff like they filmed...
Who doesn't want
to
be?
They filmed green screen fake rooftops when they could have just gone up to the roof. And we've talked about this before. Like, there's a rooftop to what is obviously a house. Like, when you walk in the door, they're clearly in a house.
Right.
But when they walk outside, it's an apartment complex with a roof.
Okay.
That they can overlook the city. But you clearly walk in the door of a house. So,
all
like,
right.
Like nothing matches. Nothing with continuity matches.
Maybe it's a brownstone?
No. I mean,
townhome?
When you see it, you'll understand. It's just so bad. He made it with two different kinds of cameras that required two different kinds of lighting, but they never fixed it. They just filmed them at the same time. So the lighting changes midway through.
I like
There's
that.
Just a close-up shot of his ass for, like, 2 minutes because he thought that would sell movies. And, like, was just open the set up so that everyone could watch him pretend to have sex. But then he, like, starts to fuck her belly button, yells at everybody. They're like, does he not know where a vagina is?
Some people don't.
But it's, so the movie is weird enough.
Fair.
But then the fact that now they've made a movie about the making
about
of
the
this movie.
Movie.
Because the co-star of the movie wrote a book a few years. And then he bought a billboard at Highland. It's at Highland and... Right by the Capitol Records building in Hollywood. He had a billboard there for 5 years, and everyone was like, how did you afford that? But he kept it up, and then they replaced it with a billboard for the book the guy wrote called The Disaster Artist about his friend making this movie, Well, of course it's James Franco that makes this movie, The Disaster Artist, and everything has to have a little tinge of gay in it.
Right.
So they've made up what seems like a crush that he has on the guy that wrote the book, and that he's kind of doing this whole movie for him in some kind of, like, unrequited love story. And then you realize that the guy playing the author is James Franco's brother. So he spends most of the movie kind of quietly hitting on his own brother, which takes us to a weirder place of
really
James
weird
Franco.
Place, yeah.
I mean, James Francoville. It's just, he's just so weird. Like, I don't understand James Franco. I want to sit down and have a long talk with him and a licensed professional therapist and just like, what is your deal?
Happening? I would like to know what the cost of a 5-year long term of a billboard in that area is, because that ain't cheap.
No, I mean, and that is the question that was on everybody's mind for years. And it was.
And like, what was the billboard? What was on the billboard?
Oh, God. No, it's Google the billboard. It's his face in this. He's a really unattractive man.
And that was all it was for 5 years.
For 5 years. Was his face, which made people think they were going to see a horror
movie.
Hey,
Google, add to my bucket list, close-up billboard of my face.
Does that make sense or what?
Wouldn't that be great?
Come on. Wouldn't has made more sense to me this year. Than
my billboard?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be magic.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's going to be magical.
That's
so
fantastic.
Who do I know that owns a billboard?
Shit, you'll meet someone.
So
you'll,
the disaster artist is really, really... really, really...
She's going to go fund me a person.
You betcha.
Well, you know, they're going to have to tear down Barbara Seville's billboard to put hers up.
So I'm going to put mine right over it. Yeah. No shame in that.
She'll be out there like that. No, she'll be out there with a drink watching someone do it that she funded.
Paste my damn face on top of it. Make sure to cover the wig.
So the disaster is very, very funny. But if you don't believe it, which I think is, I think it's hard to believe that anything is as bad as they're portraying, they're getting it spot on. So if you see the movie, you won't be left with, no, come on.
Okay, so chicken or egg, what should I do?
Is this it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God.
5 years. Wow. There's the Hotel Roosevelt. It's at Highland and, God damn it, what is that crossroad?
La Cienega?
Like Hollywood and Highland?
Don't know.
What's the name of the hotel again?
Hotel Roosevelt.
I mean, you're right there in right in downtown LA. I mean, downtown Hollywood. So that's the picture, and that's why everyone thought it was a horror movie, because it looks like a fucking Charles Manson
right.
It really does.
Thing. Just hysterical, but I cannot stress you. And it's Seth Rogen produced and starring in it, and just goddamn funny. There's a scene with Judd Apatow that will just kill you.
Okay.
Because if that part's true, I mean, it could have been any producer. It didn't have to be Judd Apatow. They might have just used him because he's friends with everybody.
It's on Highland in Hollywood.
Ish. Well, but I mean, yeah. that's where the Kodak Theater is. That's where the Yeah, that's literally the center
that's
of Hollywood.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
That he
that
paid
face.
For the
yeah.
So whoever these two actors were that saw it in previews, they kept it alive and were forcing people to go. And then it became a midnight movie. And they've said it's since made back all of its money and probably turned a nice profit. But like, just ask, like, he bought the cameras because he didn't know to rent them. And then he mounted them together.
Oh, sure.
So that he could pick. So sometimes you're seeing the movie, like, in the middle of a scene, it'll just turn to here. And the best part is it took so long to
camera
shoot
one,
that.
Camera two. Camera one.
The
camera
one they
two,
don't have it. One, they don't two. Have it in the Disaster Artist movie. But in the movie, one of the actors disappears because the shoot ran so long he left. He quit and got another job. So another character appears at the end of the movie.
It's like the second Darren of Bewitched.
Right.
All of a sudden, there's
God,
a new
guy. There's just a new guy and a new character who takes up the conversation.
The second Becky on Roseanne.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like, why is this guy all of a sudden in charge of exposition? Like, who are you? They have like the audience reactions during the movie, because at one point during a sex scene, a kid jumps in the bed, but it's not a kid, it's like a 30-year-old pretending to be 14. And, like, the one audience member goes, what is his relation to those two? Because they don't say, why is there this man-child all of a sudden tickling them in bed while they're about to have sex?
So I need to see the disaster movie.
Yeah,
okay, but chicken or egg, which one do I see first, the disaster movie or The Room? Or if I have to watch them both.
I would watch The Disaster Artist first.
Disaster Artist.
Just to see if you believe it.
Okay.
And like, it's just fucking crazy.
And then see The Room later. It's like, really?
Then you'll know.
Well, it's kind of like when you see Like, if you haven't seen Grey Gardens, the documentary.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, right. Then you watch the movie.
None of their imitations get down Grey. Like, none of them capture the crazy. They do fun jobs of everything, but there is no substitute for watching for the Grey Gardens.
I love both of them, incidentally.
Oh, yeah. One's a delightful entertainment.
But you really appreciate one over the other after you see the real thing.
Yeah, plus you never believe from watching, like, Jessica Lange and Drew Barrymore, you just never believe that there's any... It's like making fun of ABBA. Like, when you can't tell somebody about ABBA, you just have to go watch an ABBA video, because you're not gonna come close to describing a yarn poncho with matching hat and glitter lipstick. You know what I mean? Like, it's all going to sound preposterous. Yeah. Because anytime you try to make fun of ABBA, you end up coming up way short, because you can't be that goofy. Like, there's just nothing.
And nobody
that
will
goofy.
Believe you.
Yeah, no one would ever believe you.
Not enough glitter in the world.
You would never believe her marching around doing a 4th of July song with a skirt wrapped around her head.
It's my favorite. I look forward to July every year so that I could just play that.
Oh, yeah. It's really the best costume.
Very
of the
patriotic.
Day. If there was an accent that I could learn, I would want it to be hers.
Oh, that Kennedy, Boston, whatever that is.
Fucked upness.
Jerry loves my corn.
It's very specific to, like, that time period and that family.
Yeah. And that block. Like, that one city block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's it for entertainment. But I got to tell you, that Disaster Artist was a good time. And the five people in the theater with me were just like, I wanted to ask them at the end, like, who else saw the movie? Who knows what you're in for? Right. Is he fucking her belly button?
That's a problem.
That's the problem.
That's a problem. Fuck. It's
just
a problem.
I mean, everybody's tried it at least once. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
Exactly. But you gotta give it a whirl.
You gotta try it.
Something.
I mean,
wow.
Does this fit here? Does this fit here? Nobody knows it.
Nobody knows.
At first, you just don't know.
You just keep trying.
Is this the...
Are you just gonna leave us out here in the wind?
Yeah.
No,
you're supposed to scream entertainment at the end.
Entertainment!
There you go. Now do you get it?
No.
Is that the end?
I'm looking for...
No.
Oh, this isn't what I wanted. I was trying to look up something on YouTube right quick.
What are we doing?
Well,
what are we looking for?
Well, I've got two things. One, Kat sent me the picture of the still shot of the animatronic Donald Trump addition to the Disney Hall of Presidents. And here it is. And what it looks like is...
He's melting.
Holy shit. It looks like Freddy Krueger.
It looks like they made John Voight play Donald Trump what it looks like.
Oh.
That just, look how horrible. I mean, he looks bad anyway, but that's.
This is a Christmas story?
Well, that's some
He's
jowls.
Not an attractive man.
So you had to sit down with somebody at Disney and be like, look, it's not going to be good. But here's what you got to make.
The hatred is real for this one. That's, I mean, look at the bushy eyebrows and everything.
Well, he has those, yes.
And the fat line on the back of his neck. Please don't ever photograph me where my fat rolls above my collar.
Yeah. Look at that.
That's fantastic.
I would suggest no closer.
No.
Go ahead, zoom in a little bit.
I can't. Well, into what?
I don't know.
And then he's been,
whatever you got, the fat roll.
It looks like somebody beat him up while he was in liver failure. Like, what is
look
happening
at that.
There?
Liver failure.
A lot of jaundice going on with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
28 Diet Cokes a day.
Oh. Yeah.
It's all possible.
I didn't know this. Oh. Marnie sent us this, and I was glad to find out for the 2020 elections coming up, there's a new candidate.
It's exciting.
I don't know if you've heard of him. Juan Bahama is going to be running, and I think we've got a good chance with him. I think
he seems smart.
Yeah. Seems like, yeah.
He has kind eyes.
He's going to be very immigration. He's going to be very positive on taking care of some
How
stuff.
Does he feel about coffee?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to ask the donkey. Speaking of, how does he like, or whatever.
Coffee?
No, there was a story. You posted about it on the Facebooks,
like
I posted as well. Do you remember the wonderful human being who compared the Obamas to monkeys?
Oh, I forgot about that story.
I saw him, yeah.
Yeah, well, he got caught. He got caught dillying in a valley he shouldn't have been dillying in.
Underage boys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No,
it was,
no, it was girls.
It was a girl at a summer camp, some whatever the hell he was doing. But yeah, very Bible thumpy, very preachy, wanted to, you know, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff.
Was a preacher, right?
Was it, if I'm not mistaken, yes. And then allegations came out about it. Well, rather than standing and facing the music, he just drove out to a bridge and offed himself.
He killed himself.
Well, they reached some kind of an agreement the first time. They came to some kind of an arrangement, and then somebody dug it up that he had been accused of rape. like straight up rape of a teenage neighbor in a Bible camp or in her basement or it was some kind of religious setting.
Yeah.
And they had it sounded like they bullied the girl out of pressing charges.
Mm. As will happen, sure.
And then it came up, then it got public that he and that no good had come of it. Like the cops had been like, you're a member of the community and kind of like, and he offed himself and the wife was blaming it on a liberal media and it's like, oh, sweetheart, this came from your town.
Yeah, she called it, what was that, what'd she call it, a techie lynching or something?
Yeah.
Something like that, a social lynching, I forget. No,
she used the same words that Clarence Thomas did, just without the N-word. Meow.
Yeah, it was interesting. So anyway, I was glad to see that, you know, another person who wants to be better than everybody else isn't.
Yeah.
There's that. And speaking of things that are better than everybody else, we could do this little segment, and I think it'll get us a nice transition.
It's a nice intro.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise up, frazzle, two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Kat Carlson.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm reclaiming my time.
I love it. Go ahead, girl.
I prepared no things. And so today we're going to learn about why these people with the accents do not sing with accents.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we think of Mick Jagger, Elton John, Rod Stewart, blah, blah, blah. Like, we can name 100 British people that have markedly British accents in an interview when they talk. Adele's another really good example.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Her singing voice to her speaking voice are like night and day because she's got that really thick, like, kind of Cockney accent.
A foul mouth, too.
Right. But it's not just like a British American thing because we can see it in other non American musicians like ABBA. And that's the only example that they gave. Good job.
Celine Dion.
Sure. Yeah, the Canadians. Sure. Sure, Shania Twain says
I
boots.
I sounded just like her a minute ago.
Yeah.
A little bit ago.
I recalled that minute.
I know, yeah.
Sure.
No, yep.
So, we have several reasons why we notice accents that disappear in a song.
Okay.
As far as why American and not some other accent is the accent that they seem to default to, the answer is simply that a generic American accent is the most neutral English accent. Like, it's the most flat, bland, like, phonetically basic accent.
Okay.
And even American singers, if they have, for instance, like a strong New York accent or even like a strong Southern accent, unless they're trying to affect it for like country music, also lose their accents kind of in songs.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've got somebody with that like strong Long Island accent.
And there's country singers that put a drawl on that they don't have.
Have. Sure. Yeah, because it's very appealing to that market. So unless they're actively trying to include an accent, just about anybody that sings in English will lose their accent and become really generically American, because American is the least interesting accent. Mm. Sure.
Well, look at us thinking we're the most interesting.
The least interesting man.
Yeah.
So according to a linguist from Northern Ireland, a song's melody actually cancels out any imitations of speech that you would put on there anyway. Because when you sing, you're following the melody. So it cancels out, you know, the inflections and the emphasis and the you know, even some of the vowel sounds. It just kind of like carries you along with it. Add that with the beat of the music, canceling out any sort of rhythm that you might have in your speech.
Oh, the beat of the rhythm of the... No?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you talk
that
to...
Yeah, but does. Your Minnesota goes away. Yeah.
Right, your Minnesota will go away.
Oh, for God's sake, your, I can
sing like to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
The beat of the rhythm of the night.
Jesus Christ,
well,
that's
you
cool.
know what I mean when the lights go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But now you got to see if you can do that and sing and see if that holds true.
Right. I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be. Mm-hmm. It would all of a sudden it seems
because
hard.
Because you hear them all die night.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that was supposed to be.
I love it. He did a worse accent than me. That was awesome.
We spun the globe.
At least
on
I tried.
Yeah, you did.
Well, if you're singing the song as it was written, you're kind of forced to stress syllables as they're accented in the music, which forces singers to sometimes elongate the vowels that they might ordinarily shorten. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, New York's a really great American accent to really think about that as, because you know, a lot of New Yorkers have that those really harsh vowels and that really, like, staccato speech.
You're Andrew Dice Clay singing New York, New York. That's going to be very different.
And Dolly Parton loses it right away.
What was the movie, not the speech?
The King's Speech?
The King's Speech?
Is that the stuttering King George?
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't it the way that they were trying to teach him?
I mean, they also prescribed, like, 12 packs of cigarettes a day to help him loosen up his vocal cords, and he died of lung cancer.
Yes, sir, yes.
No, but I mean, like
the speech was great.
Well, he did a good job. There's that. But what they give you is tools.
Singing a lot of times, so people with a stutter, a lot of times they give you singing as a tool to use to help you, like, smooth out your speech, because then you do have a rhythm to follow.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Then your brain doesn't have to make any of that up because you have a rhythm to follow, and so sometimes it can break that blockage of a stutterer.
Right.
And
same with brain injury kind of stuff too. Gabby Giffords, whatever. Yeah. Like anything with music, they bring it back to that. Sorry.
But ABBA and Celine Dion learned their music phonetically. Like,
sure.
Celine Dion didn't know what the fuck she was singing about, and it showed for many, many years, because she didn't speak English.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she still doesn't really.
She really still doesn't.
So this article says that another factor is the actual air pressure that we use to make the sounds is much greater when we sing. Like, you use a lot more air pressure to sing than to speak. And so people who have learned to sing and who sing professionally, a lot of times they've had to learn how to breathe correctly to make the notes happen for a certain amount of time. And that affects the actual sound that they're able to produce. And as a result, regional accents disappear because syllables are stretched out and stresses fall differently. Same kind of a thing. You're following the music, and once again, it all adds up to be sort of neutral. And as a fun anecdote, the writer of this article apparently had cause to interview Keith Urban, who has a very Australian accent and is very popular in country music, but you don't even, he doesn't even affect like a country music accent like you would expect. He's just kind of, you know what I mean, really popular in that. So this particular person interviewed him and said, well, how is it that you sing differently than you talk? And Keith Urban kind of laughed and said, well, I don't know. That's a good question, but I don't think I have an accent. I think you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not even like a conscious thing.
Yeah. And to our ears, it sounds natural, but to people with other accents, it would sound
English
like
songs.
Why are you picking that when not knowing it's how it naturally falls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first time I ever auditioned singing, they gave me an Elton John song to sing, and the guy was like, why do you have an accent? And I'm like, I don't have an accent, but I was mimicking
you were singing
Elton
in the style
John,
of Elton John.
So it turns out he adds some accents to some of his pronunciations that I was just
mimicking
him, and didn't realize that he pronounces some stuff with a British accent.
I do the same
accent.
Thing to Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, that you'll give it something that you're like, oh, I didn't realize it, but there's ways of pronouncing a word that's slightly different that you're going to get a different, and I can't think of the one right off the top of my head, but there's,
I don't know.
There's a couple of his songs where you're like, oh, you got to bend and stretch, but Alanis Morissette does that a lot where she bends and stretches for a rhyme.
She's very Canadian.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's all I got. Yeah. Two things, formerly known as two things. Now it's The More You Know.
The more you know. Very good.
Great. Lovely.
I'll work up a stinger for you. Don't worry.
Got it. Do we feel the need to do a thoughtful? Do we need?
Sure.
We might as well. It's the last one.
Can I get this one?
Of course.
Okay. She's going to stop you? Like,
you can do anything you want to do.
She doesn't care.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity. Where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Wow, I think that's kind of funny, Kat.
Thank you, thank you.
Anywho, all right, Alfie?
Well, I just a simple one for the end of the year, by the way. Cheers, happy ending, happy new year,
happy Christmas.
Health and happiness of the new year.
Happy Chewbacca.
Good times.
Cheers, brother.
In girl.
Yeah. So... Hold on, let me finish this thought for the chat room. And then, what was your favorite thing from this last year? I mean, there's still two more weeks, so.
Favorite thing from the year? From the year?
This current year,
my bathroom being fixed.
Well, no, we got to find out when you get home.
Oh, good call. God
Greg,
damn it.
You are working with contractors, so.
They might still be.
Because remember a couple weeks ago when you told us 4 days? It was only going to be 4 days.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
Wasn't it still 100 degrees then?
Is there, literally, backing up what she said, could they still be there at home when you get there?
Maybe. You don't know. You don't know the struggles. Real.
No, I don't. I really don't.
But I have been around for a bathroom remodel or two, and let me tell you, dirty, rotten liars.
Assholes.
Yep.
All around.
Well, I don't think so, though. I'm hoping not.
Best thing of the year.
Best thing of the year. Being asked to go to prom.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was very sweet. Yeah. Going to high school prom. That came out wrong.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that.
Come on, Roy Moore.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Well, I paid for her. I bought her dinner. I asked her mama if it was all right.
You ride your horse on the way to vote?
That's right.
I took her to get her braces on.
No, I rode the horse on the way to prom. I would say that.
Okay.
Going to prom. That was a lot of fun.
Very good.
Yeah.
And does Ernie teach at a high school?
Yes. Yeah, she.
Oh, I thought it was
North
middle school. No. Oh, I thought it was middle school. Okay.
Nope. She used to.
I think it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
For.
I knew she switched. I didn't know she'd gotten. I know she'd gotten that much older. That
she's such
you could
a,
go to a high school
a
prom
sassy
with her.
Yeah. English teacher.
Actually,
so
I was backwards on that too. I thought she had left older kids and gone back to younger kids because it was just less stress.
No. Oh no, going to high
going
school
to the older
less
was okay. All right, and a different school.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Very much so.
All right.
Yeah. So very fun.
Yeah, that's easy. The Kat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge and all of the ridiculousness that came afterwards.
The memorial is silent.
Yes. It is.
Shh. We're well trained.
Yes, yes.
Is ridiculous.
And so
now the amazing thing in my life is how often I see either pictures of people just randomly wearing these damn shirts.
I see them too.
Like all the freaking time, I'm just scrolling through social media and somebody's posted a picture at. You know, this rehearsal, or I'm out to lunch here, or I'm hiking here, and I'm like, hey, that's my shirt.
Oh, that's fine.
Or hey, that's Brock's shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
a
how Calvin
that we
Klein
made.
Started. He was like, oh my God, that's my shirt.
Right. Building the fashion empire.
Yes.
Has been.
Mine has
hilarious.
Been retired to sleepwear.
That's okay. I mean, not everybody wears theirs for day wear. You know, and some of them we've learned as time has gone on, like some of the different like colors and fabrics shrink more than others and some hold their shape better. We found that a heathered shirt holds its shape a lot better.
Yes.
Well, there's more polyester in it. No, I've really dug deep into why this happens. Because, I have some solid color shirts
the
that have a lot more
of
cotton.
Shirts there. Okay.
I mean, sort of.
And when you get to that soft cotton, they don't hold up real well, but they become real comfortable
they become
sleepwear
real
fast.
Comfortable.
Yeah. They become the shirt that like, ooh, I probably shouldn't go out in this.
Yeah, and so it's really...
Or I don't want to go out. That's it. I just want to go out.
But it's really kind of surprising how well embraced this ridiculousness has been.
That's fun.
And how much it's continuing and how often we really see them just out in the regular world that people have added that to their rotation of t-shirts is definitely my favorite thing of the last year.
Nice.
And maybe the last 5 years. And maybe the next 7 years.
Sure,
I don't really
know. Sure. You don't know.
If I can put my name on it, listen.
I am at a little bit of a loss. I don't have the joy of a remodeled bathroom like Marnie does. I'm not a fashionista like Kat.
A fashion mogul.
Oh.
Excuse the fuck out of me.
Drop that mic.
God.
I stand corrected.
Fashionistas are Maxinistas. I'm not those people. Fashion mogul.
I think, I guess I would go to something that I guess as you get older, you take more and more stock in. Something like...
I thought you were going to say vitamins.
No, the supplements, whatever.
Vitamins, sure.
No, there have been a few things, like, and I think of them, like AIDS walk and the train trip we took and even going to Carol Burnett. I think of things that I still get to do with mom.
Yeah.
Things that I go and I do, and like those are moments. Those are things we did. We took the train trip, and we may never do that again, but I'll always have that. I'll always know we took this trip together and we had a great time and all the stuff like that. So when I do get to go do things like that, as you get older, you kind of take stock in those a little bit more than just I just went somewhere and did something with my mom. Even the movie we saw last week, mm-hmm. it was a celebrity from an era that she knew really well, obviously from her growing up in the 50s and 60s with Rosemary and that, on seeing her on all of your things. So anyway, no, just things like that. I think I just take more stock in them than I used to.
that's always true.
And my new vacuum. I think that, of course.
I'm glad you brought it back around because I was feeling like an asshole. I talked about my family, for fuck's sake.
That happens a lot.
Thanks for keeping it real.
That's all good. Yeah.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Alfie?
That's right.
I think mine would have to be that whole birthday night. Like, that was just so much planning into a slightly well-oiled machine. Yeah, there were some delays, but it was just a fun night from top to bottom, and everybody just being a part of it just turned out to be a good time and like a low stress, a couple minutes of preparation in advance, and literally, I think 25 minutes of phone calls and then 3 ignored phone calls and 1 very important email message about a nut allergy, and with the response of she can order her own dessert.
Well, there you have it.
And it worked, what I mean? Like,
smart.
But it was just such a fun night that turned out to... It just felt like people were, in my own home. Like, everywhere, mm-hmm. Between the people Absolutely. At French Grocery and Cat at Cobalt and everyone involved. Like, it just felt so smooth and seamless. And it was just a fun night.
Oh,
fun
good.
Night with friends and...
That's cool.
Something mm-hmm. that a lot of people are stressing out over. That was just, you're 50. Fuck off.
Right.
You're not dead.
Sure. Because that's a whole different party.
We've right. come for your liver. Yeah. We're not dead yet.
We're you not get sure to drink a, less. Yeah. Right. You get
had
to drink
end
less
an
at
accent.
That party.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's
I had
nice. That's really
I don't
nice.
Think the liver's the thing
it.
They're going to take from him.
No, but that's the line
oh,
from the movie.
Oh, they're going to study their shit out.
Oh,
are
yeah.
you kidding? I mean,
well, that's
what's
still
left
functioning.
That
yeah.
disintegrate, that's... Yeah, so maybe.
Well, there you are.
And there you have
it. Interesting that nobody said the show with Clayton McKee.
It's all right.
Oh, no, that's the underlying thing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I think that was first runner-up with everybody.
It's sort of like that phrase, present company excluded.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, you don't have to recount
it's just
this.
It's understood.
Okay, good.
It's understood.
That's right.
Please don't let me be misunderstood.
But thank you for a fun year, whatever year this was, 2017?
This was, 2017.
Yep. Allegedly.
In the year of your Lord. Well, mine.
Mine.
But, Sunday now felt like it lasted 30 years, so who knows what year we're on.
I hope that Erin is feeling well.
She'll get better. She'll be fine.
No, not my Erin.
From L.A.
Oh, Erin from L.A. I'm sorry. There's
That's
that.
Okay.
Went in for
She'll
a checkup and some tests. And
Don't forget, we're not going to be here for 2 weeks. We'll be back January 9th. But as we do each week, we wrap up tonight's show and leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.